When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. Welcome to CarCast. Matt Carlson, Matt the Motor Ranger, Andrea over there. What's going on, man?
How are you? I saw your 911 tub over there.
Yeah.
Already getting worked on, and the big table, the big frame table.
Getting
prepared for it.
It's exciting. It's exciting. We're building the Apple computer 935 K3 car, and it's exciting. I don't know that it's exciting to parts of the population, but to this part of the population, it's exciting. I think you put up a picture.
And I just did just now. I just walked over there and took a photo. And I was like, this is going to become this. Here's the tub. With a little magic and maybe 3 years and some money.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Dear Apple, send money.
I'll tell you how it works. That's an interesting point. Maybe they could. The process.
Or could be running the Microsoft car, the Netflix car.
The process of finding an old tub on the internet and then turning it into eventually the shiny new nut and bolt recreation that goes 180 miles an hour. That's a process you should wish all of your kids partake in. And it's something that we're like flushing out of our society.
Yeah.
But it is important. The beginning, middle, and end. The part where you have an idea, then you go find, you know, just a rusted hulk of a tub, and at some point you're putting the finishing touches on that thing. What that does for the psyche and the character of the person that's doing it and all those who are involved with the process is more valuable than any class you could ever take at school for 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this take about as long as getting a college degree anyway.
going
to high school.
I don't know. I think we can do this quicker than you think.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I was talking about...
I only say that because there's a handful of other projects going on. And it's,
sure.
It's always kind of jumping back and forth.
Like
and
your somebody goddamn goes, Mustang that won't leave my shop.
Oh, yeah. That's still there.
We're talking about a 935 motor and like what that really is or what that really entails. And Sean said you get a 993 bottom end. I guess that's the last of the air-cooled or the first. Yeah, it's air-cooled, right? But the 993, is that a turbo? We got to look it up.
It doesn't have to be turbo.
But it could be a turbo. Mm-hmm. I think you get a 993 bottom end, and which is, I think, a 3.6. And then you just start bolting on the horseshoe and the fan and all the stuff. And $100,000 later, you got an engine.
Yeah.
And that's basically
Well, now
how
that you said
that,
I was going to say 18.5 and see if anybody called after listening.
So we will.
Yeah. Where do we start with that? We try sourcing some parts, doing some eBay listings, making some calls, and but probably do some research on it, like you're saying, is. You know, it sounds like that's what Sean's been doing, trying to figure out what components would be involved.
Well, I think if you get a 993 turbo bottom end, you will have good compression, not high compression, good compression for turbocharging.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll probably have a pretty bulletproof, you know, crank rods, bearings, pistons.
So you wouldn't. you're not thinking about just getting a block of sorts and having even that part built, having the crank and pistons and everything installed fresh and new.
I cannot tell you all of everything. I imagine if you found
like a decent short block, if you will, then you can just bolt on to it.
I imagine if you found a low mileage Porsche 993 turbo short block that was in good shape, that car that left the factory with 450 or 500 horsepower, whatever it was, that lower end, provided had low miles and was in good shape,
yeah,
was probably good to strap on the turbos and the extra stuff up top,
yeah.
I would imagine. Or you just
yeah,
get
I mean, it makes sense. I don't know enough about those Porsche motors to say, but it certainly, that theory should hold water for any engine for the most part, right? Like if you get a pretty stout short block, even a factory one that's done, then we can bolt on the proper components around it, whatever heads.
Yeah, people get, mid-90s Supras and they strap on a bigger turbo and wastegate, blah, 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 and run up the boost and do a bunch of head work. And they get those things to, I know they can get them to over 1,000 horsepower, but they'll get the thing to like 800 horsepower.
Yeah.
And then you'll go, what'd you do to the lower end? And they'll go, no, the lower end will handle it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, to a point, everything will, right?
Yeah, well, I'm saying if the car runs, leaves the factory with 500 horsepower, it'll probably, you could probably strap on 650. I'll put it to you this way. Plenty of guys probably got a 993 turbo Porsche.
Yeah.
Took it to whoever, I don't know, maybe Dynan. Whatever. And they went, put on bigger turbos, put on a bigger intercooler, turn up the boost, put on a new mapping system, put up bigger injectors. Yeah. And then the guy was bragging to you, Cars and Coffee, that he just bolted on another 150 horsepower.
Yeah. Yeah, those cars, I don't know, those turbos back in the day, what are we talking, like 93-ish, 1993-ish, probably 400 horsepower. There's probably no reason why people weren't running around with 550, 600.
I think people were getting into those cars without cracking the case on the bottom end. I think they were bolting on, 150, 200 horsepower to those cars.
I'm sure there's been enough work done on them that, several people know and forums know and Porsche fans know what you can do to it. And if there are any like little limitations, like you got to do something with the oiling system or you got to change, I'm thinking in the Mustang world, you got to change, the oil pump gear to a billet gear, like, cause that's the weak point, but something like that, that's probably not a huge issue, I'm hoping. And then it gets you there.
Right. All right. So, we'll keep you, posted on the, 935 build, but exciting.
Yeah. And we haven't done one of those. Like we're just sort of coming up with ideas and talking out loud. So that's, what's going to make it fun. It's like, you're going to have to dig in and do some of the research. And as this thing comes along, It'll be cool. It'll be very cool to see it sort of come together. And the tub you bought was a real 79, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You guys may want to check out Adam Carolla Goes Racing. I think Goldberg's Hitting the Hay Bales is up there as we speak. And go to motortrend.com/Adam, new vids. And also available, and there's more videos at Vero's, VERO, download the app to your iPhone or Android.
Goldberg part one is up now, and then part two is next week, and you'll get the conclusion.
I went to bed with a bad taste in my mouth because every once a month, I go to Netflix, and I'm like, give me a car show I can watch.
Yeah.
And this one was like Barn Fine Restorers, and it's like, old dude talks to other old dude about Dodge Charger that's rusting out in the back of his gas station. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of like, what's this got in it? It's got a 383. How much you want for it? $4,000. You got to do better than that. And it's like, I don't know. Is this what we're looking for?
Yeah.
just fucking old guys looking at old cars doing nothing? Or does somebody want to fucking go to Goodwood?
There's a...
Or Rennsport or somewhere and see something. Every time I'll see the show, it'll be a title. The title will be a little tantalizing, you know, and I'll go, oh,
yeah,
let me check out this new show. And it fucking always sucks.
Yeah, it's got a rhyme or something. Oh, there's some other one we talked about on Shift and Steer. It's called like Rust to Riches or something. And you watch it and you're like, oh, this isn't even a shop. This was like a reality show casting call, you know, and they've got the girl who's like, I'm the motor expert. And then she looks at the motor and goes, what do you think? She goes, well, there's a lot of rust. What do we do now? Probably just get a new motor. That's exactly what I went down. I was
Max
like, what?
Zapata, is Grand Tour coming back on? When is that show
Amazon
coming back
doing?
On? This wasn't Netflix. This was Amazon.
Amazon.
I'm burnt out on Netflix. Netflix doesn't have anything good either.
No.
All right, let me
tell
you.
Watch Motor Trend then.
Quickly, watch Motor Trend. Watch, CarCast brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, lower underhood temperature. Zybar is an ultra-thin coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on, take heat off. Visit Zycoat.com. That's Zycoat.com. Yes.
Season 3 has been renewed. Jeremy Clarkson tweeted about it, but no release date.
Oh, he posted a picture they're filming or something, because he posted like a Nissan GTR with a camera on the back.
No, this one
on like a.
On this a, one he even said it's a season 3 filming underway. And this is it's just a picture of a truck in snow, but according to Digital Spy, season 3 is happening.
Good, because I can't take another one of these old fucks standing in a barn. It has nothing to do with anyone that likes cars. What is this thing called on Amazon? Is it Barn Rescue something? I watched about 3 minutes of it.
Like a terrible car show on Amazon?
These guys are fucking, they're the fucking Huell Hauser of cars. Like they wander around and look at shit that you would have no interest in. And I've pitched all of these assholes on going racing with Adam Carolla, and none of them want to do it, which it drives me insane. It drives me. Max Zapata, what's wrong with the fucking world? I pitch Amazon. I pitch Netflix. We're going international racing with some of the greatest cars in the world. And they're like, we'd rather have old fucks stand in a barn.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
What was it called?
Barn Find Hunter?
Yes. Yeah. And all those shows.
I'd rather watch a show where they find barns.
I really would. Let's pitch a show called Barn Finder, where I just drive around and point at barns. Maybe that'll work. I don't know. I guess the guys who greenlight this shit don't know shit about cars.
No.
But this some the cars, it's some of the worst. It's some of the worst. They're cars you have no interest in at all, ever. The building of the 935 Porsche Apple cars, infinitely more fascinating than any of these pieces of shit and these old guys.
The show that I watched, they took a smart car and they lifted it with off-road tires. Why? I have no idea. There's no reason for it. Nobody's ever going to do that. Nobody cares.
But by the way, you're not going to draw Lynette in to watching your shitty car show, and you're not going to draw me in because I know something about cars and you have a shitty car show. So who are you catering to? Who's your audience?
I don't...
Fuck, people have suffered head trauma. Like, who's your audience? Nobody gives a fuck about your shitty car shows. Yeah. They're all so shitty. Everyone's just arguing in a barn, wanting to know when it's going to be done. We're going to put a lift kit. We're going to lower it. I was watching this episode. It's like the least interesting man in the world meets the second least interesting man in the world. And then they go back and look at a fucking car that you remember from your childhood, except for this one's covered in rust and it's worth $4,000 and you don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That's the premise of the show.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Or you can go to Goodwood and watch Nick Mason's Ferrari dice it up.
Oh, why would you want to watch a $70 million car in England when you can go to Indiana and watch two super boring dudes with gray beards talk about a $4,000 car?
Right.
Ugh. The state of car shows sicken me. they just sicken me. But it's got to be all the people creating them, because there cannot be any car guys in
what are we missing? Like, I don't get it. What are we missing? Tell us what we're missing. Tweet us. Let us know. What kind of car show do you want?
Yeah.
We'll do it. Tell us what you want. We'll try to do it.
No, I'm not going to do it. We're going to do Going Racing with Adam Carolla, and we'll put it up on the fucking internet, and these fucking outlets can fuck themselves. I'm tired of these idiots.
Well, God
or provide something that's halfway decent. Look, Grand Tour is a great show, and then everything else is pure shit. And the Fastest Car is a doc. It's a human story about people. You know, this guy's disabled. They said he'd never walk again, but that's not going to stop him from driving a car. That's great. That's great. That's great for Lynette. It's not great for me. I want to see some cars.
Yeah,
I'm a car person. I'm not the human story about that. Half the other cars on like Velocity, half those other shitty shows are like, it's our 45th anniversary. We went out on our first date in a 66 T-Bird. I want to get a 66 T-Bird and restore it for my wife's 45th anniversary. That's great. Great old guy with your fat fucking wife. Not interested.
Right.
I like cars, not love stories. I want to see fucking cars, not you being reunited with your fucking son, the veteran, who wanted an Impala before he was shipped off to Iraq. Great. That's for my fucking wife. I want cars.
Yeah.
I want cars. It's a car show. Show me a fucking decent car. Jesus Christ.
I'm in.
These fucking executives are fucking retarded. It drives me nuts. And how can you create a good car show if you're an executive and you don't know shit about cars?
Yeah.
And everything's just about the conflict and the story.
I would say they're actually angry at cars.
They don't like cars. They have this.
They just don't like them.
They don't like their audiences who they don't like. But listen, if I want to see conflict, then I'll watch Real Housewives of Orange County. But I don't want conflict. I want cars.
Yeah.
Well, you think about all the cars we love, like the Jag XJ220.
Mm-hmm.
The Bugatti with the mid 90s one with the four turbos on it.
Yeah.
I can't even think of the Bugatti.
EB112.
I mean, there's a kajillion cars we love, right? The Maserati C112 or there's a million cars we love. Never show up in any of these car shows ever. So, we got another Impala.
Those are cars with good car stories, not cars with anniversary stories. You know, guy and his wife. They're good car stories.
It's a fat couple from fucking Indiana. What do I give a shit whether she gets her fucking Thunderbird back or not?
Yeah.
Ugh. And where's the
She's
racing?
She's not going to care. Just buy her an Escalade and do it on a different show.
Right. Who's going racing? Where's the vintage racing?
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. You make us all sick. All you executives over there. You fucking shitty car shows.
It's ruined my day.
Jesus Christ. It's sad.
Yeah.
All right. Where were we? What's going on with us?
I'll tell you. This is just a piece of news that I found that I thought was kind of interesting. Was we love what's going on in this world of these recreations or these restomods, you know, the Jonathan Wards and the Singers of the world. And there's this group of...
All never featured on any of these fucking car shows.
Lanzantee? I don't know the name of the group, but that's what it goes by, I guess, it's Lanzantee. So what they're doing is they are going to recreate a Porsche 930. The 930 is from 1984 to 1987. They're only going to do 11 of these cars.
I need a short block.
Yeah, well, this is not quite the short block you were looking for. Porsche had built a 1.5-liter turbocharged V6, branded as the TAG, T-A-G, Porsche TTE P01. It was for McLaren F1 cars back in the day. The engines produced 1,000 horsepower in qualifying trim and 750 horsepower in racing spec.
So when they turned down the boost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well.
Wow.
This group,
1.5 liter.
1.5 liter. There's a picture of it, right?
We're looking at it. Yeah, a lot of intercooling going on.
This group went to McLaren and bought 11 of the engines, and they're going to create 11 Porsche 930s with this 1.5 liter turbocharged V6.
Not slant nose.
No. And the crazy part is
TAG isn't TAG Heuer, the watch?
No, I don't think so.
That insignia looks like that, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But keep going.
So it turned out.
Hold on. Color me intrigued. Yeah. By the way, if you're from Amazon or you're from Netflix and you're executive and you're listening, don't go near this place. This is wildly fascinating.
Yeah.
There are no old fucks waiting to die standing by Impala. So you would not be interested in this because this is super, super cool and super interested. And remember, your viewers are all fucking dumb and they just want to see human stories about old guys standing in barns. All right, that caveat. I don't want any executives from Amazon or Netflix listening, because this is stuff that's infinitely fascinating and wildly interesting to people that like cars. Remember, your listeners, your viewers, they're dumb. They don't like cars.
Chances are these guys aren't building
fucking
these things
assholes
in a barn.
Yeah, well, then they're out.
They're out.
They
listen, can paint
executives,
the building up like
no
a barn.
No barns. You're out.
You're out.
Yes.
So it turns out that back in the day when they were doing the F1 stuff, McLaren had built a prototype 930 with this engine, and it was like so out of sight, like nobody knew about this car, that it was even just speculated, it was just rumor. And it turned out it wasn't rumor, it was a real thing. So these guys, this
not
other
a
group,
slant nose, these are built with the headlights up, they look very 930 of their time, turbo Porsche of the era, the body does.
Now I don't know exactly what the final horsepower is going to be in street trim and how do they tune it to give it enough torque to, you know, make it a good street car. But it's going to be amazing. What I don't get is somehow we got so distracted with the 935 at Rennsport, the new one, and the Speedster, that the first of this car or the prototype was at Rennsport. And we didn't see it and nobody talked about it. And here we are weeks later going, by the way, did anybody notice the 1.5-liter turbo 930 that's
what was the Speedster?
That's the one parked right next to when you did the interview of the 935. The Speedster was next to it. It's a new modern-day.
Oh, the new Speedster.
Yeah, it's a new Speedster.
Blown out by the MC. I couldn't hear. But was the Speedster right next to
it? It was
the
right next
935?
To you. You were literally standing there. When you were doing the interview with the Porsche guy and you couldn't hear, the two cars in that roped area was the Speedster.
Next Pat, I'll
Chris
me
will
a,
find
he'll
it. It's a new Porsche Speedster, 911 Speedster.
Block that out of my mind. I'm so into that 935. Wow.
And then, like, simultaneously, I think in, like, I don't know, Paris Motor Show or something, they debuted the Speedster, but in red. And the one we saw was, like, gray and gold or gray and silver.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a very interesting. I wonder what the price point of that is. The engine is insane.
Well, there's going to be 11 of them.
A 1.5 V6. That thing must, if it makes 700 horsepower, it's going to make it at 11,000 RPM.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the fine print, and it looks like they're going to do a 9,000 RPM version of this, and but I guess we'll see. I guess we'll find out when they get a little closer to knowing what it's going to be.
It's going to be so light. It's nice to have that weight out of the rear end.
But you're right. There's still a lot of questions. Is it going to be a carbon fiber body like we're seeing now, or is it going to be metal or aluminum or whatever? Like, how are they going to – are they going to start with 930s? Are they going to do recreations with different tubs? We don't know, but it's going to be a ton of money, and they're all going to be sold in a heartbeat, and they're going to be amazing, right? Because that's right where we are now. Like, just the quality of car you have to build to get into this playing field is so much higher now.
Yes.
You know, but this is a neat idea, and that's a badass little engine, and you're buying it all for the engine, right? I mean, I'm sure the car is going to be cool, but
yes, you're buying it all for the engine.
Also, the tag is the Tag Heuer watch company, Tag is a holding company. They bought your watches. They actually own 20% of McLaren right now.
But the Tag is the insignia of the Tag Heuer.
No, it's a different logo.
But it's connected to Tag Heuer or whatever. So but it's the like Tag that's on the side of all the F1 cars in the 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah.
All right. Tell us about Geico, and then we'll take a look at a tank slapper.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding you can do, most rewarding to do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
All right, Geico. Yeah. So we were talking in shows past about the tank slapper. Somebody tweeted me and said, that's a motorcycle term. It's not a car term. I said, I don't know. People have said it to me about cars. I'm sure it started in the motorcycle world and made its way to the car world. It was
slang which refers to the front forks violently slapping back and forth.
It was also,
but you knew what we meant, right?
if you go to CarCast or the CarCast show,
CarCastShow.com.
CarCastShow.com will show you some pictures. Now, first, you should understand it was the Fitzy 280 ZX I was driving, and Max Zapata will probably need to start the little video we put up there with a picture of the car, so you can actually see what kind of car I'm driving. I'm sure you guys thought of that. Yeah. And you look at the, and we'll attach a video. It's a good looking car, sold it on Bring a Trailer. You can see the rear
picture of Lasswitz and his pants.
you can see the rear tail, and the rear tail has kind of it's a shelf, and it has three sides. It has the back and the right and the left. So you can kind of see with acceleration that a big tire gauge, again, the round part's the size of half a good size orange, and then it has a 16-inch rubber tube hanging from that. We'll show you the tank slapper. That's turn five, car getting loose, getting ready to turn left here. Car getting very loose, and then back, and then back, and then back again, and then back again, and then back again. That was in lap two.
Okay.
So I pulled out onto the track. I went around the track once, and then I did the tank slapper, which is it was cold. It was in March, and it was cold out there.
Yeah.
And I went. You can go back, Max Pata. I went out to the track. I did one lap. And then I got into it. Evidently, those big slicks were probably still a little bit cold.
Yeah.
When I did the tank slapper. So then I went back out.
Wait a minute. If that's the tank slapper, why is the gauge right there?
Is that the gauge? Evidence uncovered.
Yeah. That's why this is the second time around. So the first time around is when the tire gauge must have fallen out. That's why I emailed you. I said, you can actually see it on the right side of the track, and then when you come back around, it's in the center of the track.
Okay, so but then the theory
but Max
of...
Zapata, that you got to say the tank slapper didn't cause it.
Yeah, I told you that before the show. I said it was the second lap, so the first lap...
Max Zapata, you're going to get me to kill myself. You said it was the second lap.
This is the second lap, yes.
Yes,
he said he meant the tank slapper was the second lap.
In the email I sent you, I said you can even see the tire gauge right after the tank slapper on the right side of the track.
All right, let me see that. When did you send that email?
Last night. We were emailing each other.
After the second email or the first email?
I think it was the first, when you asked me what lap it was.
It fell off before the tank slapper.
Yes, correct.
Yes, okay. You needed to verbalize that. We were talking ad nauseum about the tank slapper causing it. And then the reason I kept saying to you is the tank slapper is the second lap. I already drove a lap with it on the back of the car.
Yeah, you emailed me, you said, was it the first lap? Or then we see the gauge. And I said, I have it a second lap. You can see the tire gauge on the right side of the track right
now.
No,
I didn't say then we see the gauge.
Yeah, you said, was that the first lap or ? And then we see the gauge next lap. Thank you. And I said, I have it a second lap. You can see the tire gauge on the right side of the track right after the tank slapper.
When you said right after, I thought you meant talking about the second.
Right. Yeah. And it's a little confusing because we're trying to
Max
find out.
Pat, it's funny. I had a talk with it. The gestalt of this is the tank slapper caused the gauge to fly off.
Okay.
You verbalized, no, absolutely not. It did not happen that way. It was there.
That's why I paused it.
Yeah, I get it now, Max. The tank slapper did not cause it. It fell off on the first lap.
Yeah.
All right. That's what you need to verbalize. All right. So there it was, and then it got knocked into the middle of the track for the second lap.
And that was turn five?
Yeah. That was up the hill from turn five, and then it got knocked into the middle of the track. All right.
So it takes five turns to take it. Now, you know the commercials, how many bites to get, or how many to get to the center of a tixie rope?
Mr. Al.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes five turns.
You pull out onto the track, you one turn, another turn. Yes, it was the left. It was the left on turn five. But keep in mind, it's not five turns, because the way you pull out onto the track, you avoid turn two.
Yeah.
You start on turn three, right hand, turn four, right hand, turn five. And probably what happens is you're going so slow on that first right hand turn with your cold
just
tires.
You're not
getting into it.
Yeah.
And then turn four, you're starting to pick it up a little. And by turn five, you're starting to get into it. So the thing did fall off on the first lap. And then it got knocked into the middle of the track.
Yeah.
On the second, when I came around with the tank slapper on the second one.
And then somebody must have hit it square on and crushed it.
We got a picture of it.
There's the picture of the pieces.
Completely.
Who went out and got the pieces?
And
Les?
Utterly destroyed. I don't know, but it made me laugh.
Did Les send you a bill?
But I probably just worked it in as a line item. But again, the thing that made it funny, and that was a hell of a tank slapper. The thing that made it funny is, as I was looking at it in the road, I thought, who else could fuck up this badly? And then I thought, only us. But sure enough, I didn't think it was us.
No.
All right. Let's see. I'm excited about that car. I'm excited about rebuilding the 510. There's just not enough days in the week anymore for us car guys. Next event, let's see. We went to the Peterson. We saw Jay and Tim Allen. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
A little bit.
We've got SEMA coming up, and I don't have all the details on it, but I think you're going to be doing a signing or something at the Apex show with Castrol. I want to say Tuesday. I don't have the exact time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brad and Aaron and I are going to be doing Shift and Steer in the Magnaflow booth each day.
Fanshawe Hagar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing Shift and Steer each day, one live show a day.
For how many days?
For the 4 days, Tuesday through Friday. So we're doing a show each day there. We'll put all up on social media, the times and everything. I think Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are all the same time, and then Friday's a different time. But so we're going to be out there doing some stuff for sure. Again, I don't know what your schedule is. Do you know what your schedule is? Are you coming in and out in one day? Are you going to try to do a lap at SEMA? Leave Apex, come do a lap at SEMA?
Probably
before or after your signing?
Knowing me, probably in and out. But there'll be some stops along the way where I'll see a company that makes aluminum bench vices, and I'll get really excited.
Yeah.
And I'll go, Jesus.
Well, you're going to be at Apex, which is a different type of event, and we're going to have to like walk over or take the tram over to get to SEMA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different location.
Mm-hmm.
We'll check. I think it'll be worth seeing if you have some time to grab an hour or two and do a lap through one of the halls at SEMA. All the big hot rod stuff is in that central hall, but I also know you like, I think it's North Hall that has, it's all the guys that have like you're saying, it's like, here's the vice and here's the toolboxes and here's a new type of paint gun and here's how you can hang yourself off the ceiling so you can detail the roof of your car, like all
I
the cool
that.
Stuff. There's like the ShamWow guy doing the demos and, like all that cool stuff is going to be there. So,
I love that. All right, and you, let's see, we got the, you drove the ES300 through Texas, the Lexus Hybrid.
I did. We talked about it on the show this past Wednesday. We had Alistair Weaver from Edmunds.com come back in, and I went to Texas and did a little road trip in this Lexus hybrid, and he went to the Paris Motor Show. So go back and listen to that if you missed it, because he kind of recaps all the cool stuff from that. New Porsche 911s and just like all the good stuff that's happening there. And I took this Lexus, this ES300H, which is what we said on the other show, is a very important car for Lexus because it is the midsize sedan, similar to what you're driving with your Jag. It's hybrid. And I'll tell you, the one thing that they figured out, Toyota and Lexus, is that seamless transition between electric and gas engine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so flawless. Like all the start-stop features we have in so many cars, and you can still, you just know that happens every time and it hesitates at a stoplight. This is so seamless. And it's funny because we've talked about this before where the hybrid cars, whether it's performance or economy car, right? Like this Lexus or the NSX, right? When you get to the stoplight at an NSX or this Lexus and it shuts the motor down, but it's in hybrid mode and the electric motors will move the car. So you don't have to fire up the engine and then go. And this makes it really nice and smooth when you're doing that.
What's the range of that car? What do they claim the range is?
So there is a way to put it in like an EV-only mode, but it's not necessarily meant for that. And,
right.
So this isn't really like an electric mode per se. I can tell you that.
Can you plug it in?
I don't believe this is a plug-in hybrid.
Well, that's why I said, can you plug it in? I mean, it's not a plug-in.
No.
Oh, you said hybrid, but I know. Like, there's some that are just plug-in.
You're
and
right. There
some
are some plug-in hybrids.
Right. And then some are all plug-in.
Yeah. This is meant to use the gas engine more to give you a greater miles per gallon. This isn't meant to be like an EV car.
So what do you think?
I was getting 40 miles per gallon.
You fill the thing up. You don't plug it in or you can't plug it in and you drive. What do you think the range is? Max Paddle, look it up.
Yeah, well, I think...
Yeah, there is no plug-in. It's just like a Prius.
Yeah, I want to say I picked up the car and I drove it around town and I drove it on the freeway. And keep in mind that a hybrid car doesn't necessarily get its full benefit at highway speeds because it's not using electric. You got to hit the brakes and do whatever. So I got, I want to say, well over 400 miles to a tank.
Yeah,
you know, well, maybe 450.
Maxapata, we'll look it up.
If you're getting 40 miles per gallon and I'm doing 90 on the freeway, you're getting 42 city. Maybe
am I making this car up that I speak of? I know Jag is coming up with the electric stuff, but am I making up the hybrid sort of luxury car that I can just plug in every night or twice a week and get 80 or 100 miles out of just pure electric and just fucking leave it on electric and go back and forth to work? And then if I want to go to Las Vegas, the motor will kick in, the engine will kick in, and we can do it that way, and I can get the range.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I know it'll kick on periodically to keep the juices flowing and the oil moving, like, in it on its own. But I'm like, where's the luxury car that has a plug where I can just go pure plug in, get 75 miles of range? That'll get me to work and back three or four times, and then I'll just plug it in on Thursday.
Yeah. So
why does that not exist? Is my question.
You're right. Yeah, I don't believe it exists. I think it's on the way. There is a BMW 7 Series plug-in hybrid, but it's 30-mile range or something. It's not quite there. But it's interesting that you say that because part of the news that we have here is that Jaguar is planning basically to have their entire lineup of cars on the Jaguar brand, not the Range Rover brand, will all be essentially an EV of sorts. And probably the next one in their lineup, like we have the I-Pace, the little SUV that's coming out, but the next one in their lineup would be the XJ, would be the big sedan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's going to be completely electric like a Tesla or some sort of long range hybrid like you're talking about. But that is the idea. Now, the alternative of what you're talking about would be like the Porsche Mission E.
Maxapata, I'm using the word range.
Okay. Well, it's,
over and over again,
Matt,
because
it's a 13.2 gallon tank, 44 miles.
Well, you do the math, because I want to know what the range of the car is.
Okay.
Matt told me it got 40 miles to the gallon. I want the range.
It'll probably, you can probably figure that.
It should have it on some spec sheet somewhere, I'm guessing. But if you want to go 13 times
580.
44, then you're at 580.
Yeah.
Which is pretty,
I don't think it's quite that high. I think it's, well, I think it was like 470 something.
That's what they're claiming. But anyway, so deduct 10% from that.
Yeah.
But you were saying.
So it's interesting that that Jaguar is making that move like what you're talking about. And again, I don't know if it's going to be pure electric, which would put it in the Tesla and the Porsche Mission E, which we found out is going to be called the Taycan or Taycan.
Yeah.
It's not that great of a name.
Weird name.
It's not that great of a name.
All right. Tell us about Castrol.
So, which a Tesla does not use.
No.
Heat, friction, and viscosity break down and rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge is engineered with fluid titanium technology. It physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. This helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. It is 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think about, we used to say motor and engine, and people would say Detroit Motor City, but they really mean engine.
Yeah.
And then car guys would go, some car guys would go, it's okay to say what size motor's in the car, whatever. We do have to say motor and engine now.
I've always thought motor was electric and
people accepted
combustion. Yeah.
Oh, it's got a 440 with a six pack. Oh, that's a big motor. No one ever went, well, it doesn't have armatures.
Yeah.
People understood motor.
Yeah.
It's Detroit Motor City. But now we are going to have to be a little more stringent about motor, using motor casually, because I'm saying, how about the motors that have a motor? I do now have to start saying engine, because with the engine or whatever, because if your car's going to have a motor and an engine, we are going to have to draw the distinction.
It's funny, because I'm driving the Lexus and thinking, oh, I'm using the motor. Oh, I felt the engine kick in and I'm going back and forth. And then there's some version of when the motor and the engines were working together and had great mid-range power because of that. And I always thought previous hybrids were sort of like one or the other, but never combined. And I can't say it's combined, but it really felt like it was combined.
When do you think people are going to start taking delivery of the Jags?
I think they just started taking delivery of the Jag. As a matter of fact, you're going to drive one. We got one coming for a week after SEMA in November. An I-Pace. I'm curious to see what you think.
I'll be excited to drive it.
I'm not going to drive it. I don't have a plug at home.
We met the guys at Jag when we were doing the Laguna Seca Rolex Historics. It's funny. Now, be careful when you talk to these people, because when they're bragging about the 240-mile range or the 300-mile range and they start getting into the nuts and bolts, they'll say, you know, they'll start throwing out numbers and then they'll go, it's got a 300-mile range and you can charge to 80% in 20 minutes. And you go, oh, I can get 225 miles in 20 minutes from zero?
Yeah.
That's kind of impressive. And then you'll go, but not off 110, right?
Yeah.
And they go, no, not off the house current. And then you'll go like, oh, so if I have like the special box, like the 240 box, and they'll go, yeah. And then at some point, you'll double back and go, wait a minute, my wife has the Tesla. We have the Tesla 240 box in our garage.
Yeah.
It takes 9 hours for her to get to 200 miles with the fast charge box.
Yeah.
How can you guys do it in 20 minutes? And they go, no, that's no. How many volts are you running? And you go, no. And then they go, what's the current? And then you go, no. And then they go, how many amps is your box? And then at some point, the clouds will part.
Yeah.
And it'll be one of their fast charging stations.
Right. Or a nuclear power plant.
Right.
Or struck by lightning.
Not at yeah. home.
Yeah. What they mean is nobody's going to get it done in 20 minutes.
Oh, well, they will if you're at the Bun Boy and you're halfway in Baker, yeah. California, and they put a charging station there. Maybe.
Maybe.
But they're not saying you're going to do that at home. My kind of answer.
Bun Boy? Is that a real thing?
It's halfway between Vegas and L.A.
Oh.
You should start driving to SEMA, dude.
Oh, my God. There's so much traffic.
The point is, that's why you stop at the Bun Boy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The point is this. What I really want to know is, if you have a 300-mile range, how fast can you get to 80% with the box I buy and wire into the garage and plug in on the 240 current?
Yeah.
What's the fastest I can get? Forget 80%. What's the fastest I can get to 100 miles?
Yeah.
If I'm at 4 miles and I plug it in, how fast can I get to 100 miles plugged into the 240 charger at the garage?
Yeah.
And that answer seems to be less impressive.
Yeah, and it's not like, oh, it's double, it's 40 minutes. It's not. It's still
a bit 6 hours,
yeah,
or 5 hours.
Right, because you're like, the 110 outlet takes 30 hours to charge, and then the super fast charger or whatever is still 8 or 9 hours, and then there's the Bun Boy charger that's 20 minutes.
You don't know the Bun Boy, dude?
No.
Let's see. MaxPad has a plug-in.
Yes.
97 miles on the battery. Hmm. Go ahead.
So this is the BMW i3S REX, which is meant for people who have what I think you have is range anxiety.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this is, we talked about when you test drove one or went to go see one with the silly pig nose front, that it couldn't do enough range. And they said, we're gonna increase the battery and offer like a big range version.
Well, yeah. let me jump in for a second here. I think the people, when they say range anxiety, they're talking about people who are like, I want to go to the Grand Canyon and I don't want to have to rent a car to go to the Grand Canyon. My range anxiety is I live 11 miles from where I work or 9.5 miles from where I work. I don't want to have to go to work and plug it in.
Yeah.
I want to go to work and come back. That'll be 20 miles.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to plug it in that night.
Run an errand or two. Right?
Yeah, I don't want to plug it in that night. I want to go to work. I want to be able to go back and forth to work for the week and then plug it in on Friday.
Right.
The BMW, the fucking i7 or whatever it was, that thing had a range of 19 miles.
The i8, yeah.
i8. That thing was like, you could drive it to work and then just plug it in at work. And it's like, I can't even get home. I live close to work. So that was bullshit. But just to put a point on it, usually they talk about range anxiety. They're talking about like how far you can get.
Yeah, can
for
you
me,
go to
it's
Irvine?
Like, I just
can
like to go back and forth a couple of times before I plug it back in. Go ahead, Max Pata.
But yeah, so as you read, 97 miles on the battery pack, and then you'll get another 83 once it starts using the gas. There is a what amounts to a 2.3-gallon jerry can.
Right.
Right. So it's got like a little motorcycle engine.
Right.
Motorcycle.
And 97 is
okay.
Fine. But at that point, why don't I get a Chevy Bolt?
Yeah.
With 235 or 196 or whatever.
Which
it is.
Which is one of the better technology EV cars.
Yeah. But I like the BMW. It's fine. And, and it's a little funky town, but it's a BMW. And that'd be a good thing just to plug in and go at that range, I could almost get to work and back for a week.
But we're getting close. Everybody's doing it. Mercedes, Jag, Porsche, everybody's going to have some sort of electric thing going on.
All right, let me tell you about Zybar. Revolutionary new product our CarCast team is excited about. Ultra-thin coating for manifolds. We talked to the Zybar guy about this. Headers, turbos, tailpipes, mufflers, and tips. 0.001-inch thickness reduces radiant heat by 90%. First DIY thermal coating of its kind. And we were talking about, well, why not a rattle can? How come it doesn't come in a spray can? And the answer is there's propellants in there, and that would pollute it. It's that scientific. It's from the space technology. Space world. Non-corrosive, doesn't break down, even in 2,000-degree environments, makes wraps, shields, and expensive ceramic coatings obsolete. Comes in four awesome colors, bronze, midnight black, cast silver, and Porsche gray. Make your engine a showpiece. I even think they'll talk about mixing some of the stuff if you want custom colors. Available for purchase at Zycoat.com. That's Z-Y. Coat, it's one word, Zycoat, Coat.com. And many auto parts at retail locations. Put Zybar on, take heat off at Zycoat.com. All right, you can see me doing basic cable commentary in Phoenix, October 27th with Mike August and Adam Ray up on stage with us. Two shows coming up. That's Stand Up Live. Invite your mom, man. Anaheim, yeah. Grove, Anaheim, November 30th. We're doing a live podcast there with Rob Riggle. Go to adamcarolla.com if you want to see swag and get some swag and do whatever. Go to Shift and Steer and say hi to Matt over there. And you can listen at Podcast One. And Adam Carolla goes racing. We were talking about that before. What do you got?
Go to motortrend.com/Adam for that, and check out motorator.com. We relaunched it. We're writing about new parts and stuff, and we're going to populate a bunch of stuff after SEMA as well.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla. For Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.